So we've been talking about whether or not women can be funny this afternoon. There's been a lot of debate in the papers following the BBC's decision to ban all male panel shows. And of course, it has brought up that whole women can't be funny debate. We've been discussing where this preconception stems from. There are plenty of scientific theories as to why women wouldn't be seen as funny, most of which, has to be said, don't stand up to much scrutiny. There's a general implication that humour is involved in human mating, therefore kind of insinuating that women don't need to be funny because, back in the day it would be the man, I guess, who would do the wooing, and therefore men have had to develop a humour in order to gain female attention. Someone in the paper, writing in the paper today, says, is standing on stage for the amusement of strangers the modern human equivalent of the peacock's tail? Perhaps there's something in that, I don't know. Personally, obviously, I think women can be just as funny as men. But it's an interesting topic because a lady from Brighton, Amy Harrison, has actually been asked to go all the way over to Texas in America to talk about this very issue. She is a copywriter by trade, and she very much uses humour as a way of both marketing herself and her business, but also she encourages other women to do that. And yet, a lot of women have said to her, oh no, I can't be funny because that will undermine my credibility. And so she's going to this conference in Texas to talk about all about the taboo, if you like, of being a funny woman in business. We can hear from her now, and I started our chat by detecting her accent wasn't from round here.
No, I wasn't. I was born in Hull and grew up in the villages outside of Hull, and I'm very fond of it. It's one of those places where you say that you're from Hull and people have either never heard of it or they've been there once.
Yeah.
Because it is literally at the end of the train line. You need a specific reason to go there.
You wouldn't just be passing through.
You wouldn't pass through. It's not like Leeds or York or somewhere. It's you have to be very determined to get there. So I love it. I'm very fond of it. But, you know, get to 18 and I think you just want to go as far away from home as possible. So I haven't lived there since I was 18. I was in Bournemouth for 3 years, studying script writing for film and TV, then went to Canada for a year, and then came back and settled in Brighton and just loved
it. Home in Brighton.
Yeah.
Script writing for film and TV, that must have been a great course. Did you know from a young age that writing was what you wanted to do?
Writing is something that I've always done. It's something that, I mean, I was one of those kids that did all the clubs. I did violin, I did basketball, I did jazz choir, gospel choir, but writing was the thing that stuck. It was something that I would always do in my spare time. And to me, I thought, yeah, 3 years of writing would be amazing. And I thought it would just be drinking lots of Jack Daniels and being very creative.
And it wasn't?
No, surprisingly not. In fact, there's a huge amount of rules. You have to learn all about story arcs, characters, character development, which was, it was fantastic. And it was very hard. You're writing nonstop for 3 years. But at the end of it, I had decided that I no longer wanted to be a scriptwriter. And obviously the course was quite unique.
Yeah,
to
quite niche, writing. Really.
Yeah.
You cut off a few of your options with that one. And why? Why did you change your mind?
I think what was interesting was that the course was great and it was run by a lot of people who are actually working within the industry. But you did see that the pecking order of the writer is right at the bottom to start off with. Mm. And they would be very open. You know, if you want to go into writing and script writing, you've got to work so hard. And you've got to also be prepared for lots of people to try and change your work from the director to the actor. And it just, whilst I love the writing, the industry had lost its appeal to me. And so I just wanted a bit
really
of a break.
It's really tough as well. There must be so much rejection.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've got to really get used to being rejected.
Yeah. But that's interesting, the point you make about, you know, you've written something, it's your baby, mm-hmm. and then someone else comes in and says, oh, actually, I'm going to change that character and I'm going to change it. I mean, that is hard, I think, to get your head around.
It is hard. And funnily enough, it's something, I do a lot of workshops with businesses teaching them how to write online content. And one of the biggest challenges is they will say to me, you know, I wrote this piece and my colleague didn't like it. And it really annoyed me and it really frustrated me. So you have to have that, you sort of you need to understand, how do you review content? How do you discuss it respectfully?
Yes.
Because it is very personal.
Without falling out. Yeah. Now, comedy obviously plays a big role in what you do now. Explain a little bit about your business.
Yeah, so I'm a freelance copywriter, but I also do content training. So I've traveled a lot around Europe recently working with big businesses where they're having to learn how to write online content. It's very new to them, and a lot of people who... as employees are being asked to write online content, have never done it before.
No.
So that's that side of the business. But what I wanted to do last year was I wanted to try and market my business slightly differently, because I feel like I've got a sense of humour. I like to laugh, and you know, people booking workshops with me, they're kind of booking my personality as well. So I wanted to create something which showed off a bit more of that, which is how I got the idea of creating this series of videos that I started last year.
Let's talk about this online TV series of yours. What's it called?
So it's called Content Marketing Stripped. And the idea behind it, I was telling you earlier, I was saying to my husband one day, I said, I want to try something different. I'd love to do some kind of comedy in my marketing. And I've got this idea where I'd do these videos, but then it would be like Sesame Street. But instead of teaching children to spell, it would teach businesses how to write content. And he was very supportive, but I think part of him thought I'd lost my mind and just could just rubbish the credibility that I'd built over the last 5 years. But I did it. It was this nag that wouldn't go away. And so I wrote a script and filmed it. And what I'm trying to do is put together the entertainment value of something like a sketch show with comedy, but also that has very valuable tips as well. So it's got to be useful.
Yeah, of course.
So,
but you see... See, I can relate to that. It's that thing, isn't it? You don't want your humour to undermine your credibility. You still want to be taken seriously, but why can't you do that in a humorous way?
Exactly. And I think one of the things that I noticed as I was studying it and preparing for the talk is that I focus the humour on the problem. So if I'm making fun of something, I'm making fun of something that my customer can empathise with. Mm. What I'd never do is actually make fun of the customer.
No. That's not great business sense.
It's not the best way to build rapport. And I don't make fun of my ability. So I never rubbish my skills. I might make fun of myself. I might put my face in a chocolate cake or dress up as a screenshot of Google. But the fact that I'm providing value and I'm saying, okay, so let's have a little fun, let's laugh at this problem.
Yeah.
Now, here are some practical tips that you can use to actually start solving it.
Amy Harrison, who's been asked to go to Austin, Texas, to give a talk all about being a funny woman in business. More from her after the news, travel and weather at 3 o'clock. We've been talking this afternoon about whether or not women can be funny. Of course, obviously, I think, yes, they can. I think some women are funny, just like some men are funny. However, this whole debate has been sparked by the fact that the BBC have banned all male panel shows. And it's kind of resurrected this whole old women aren't funny cliche. So despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary, I think it's fair to say that this stereotype does still persist for some. And we've been discussing it this afternoon with Amy Harrison from Brighton. She uses humour through her business as a copywriter in order to market herself, and she advises other female businesswomen how they can use humour to improve their business prospects. She's now flown out to a conference in Texas. She's been invited to go over there to talk a little bit about this very topic and to really discuss whether or not being a funny woman is still a taboo in business. Does being funny undermine your credibility?
What I noticed after doing these videos throughout last year, I would have a lot of conversations with very smart, very funny women running businesses saying, I love what you do, I'd love to do something about it, but I'm still worried that being seen as a funny woman is going to go against me. And I wanted to look into it a bit further because I thought, well, I know it's working for me, and I know that there's been, you know, studies proving that humour works well in marketing if it's done right. And then I started to research it, and I just uncovered all of these studies which had been published to prove that women aren't funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it started, one of the main...
Studies carried out by men? By chance?
Well, you have to ask the question, why do we need these studies?
Yeah.
You know, how does it help? There was a very famous article by a guy called Christopher Hitchens who this cracked me up. He basically said, it was in 2007 in Vanity Fair, and he said, women aren't funny because men are programmed to go and hunt for women. They have to do everything to pursue and to impress, while as women just, apparently we just have to sit and be pursued.
Oh, I see.
So we don't have to develop any right. interesting parts of our personality. Okay. We don't have to be funny.
Thank you for that, Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah, which was great. And I'm glad I didn't read that before doing these videos. And in fact, I'm glad I didn't read that sort of years ago, because I think if I was waiting around to be pursued, I'd still be living with my parents.
Great. It's funny because you do hear, I've heard male friends of mine say to me, oh, you know, if you go to a comedy club, oh, there's a woman on the bill. It won't be any good. Women aren't fine. I don't know what it is, but I do think a lot of men have this this stereotype in their head that women can't be funny.
Yeah, and I think what I love is that there is a real emergence of female comedians.
Yeah.
I love Miranda Hart, Sarah McMillan. You know, they're proving that you can do comedy, which also, you can do comedy that doesn't have to focus on being a woman as well. You know, you can just take funny situations or take situations and throw a quirky slant on it, put your own spin on it. I mean, some of the most raucous nights where I'm crying with laughter have been with my girlfriends. You know, when we get behind closed doors, we open wine and we just let rip.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is still sort of this, I think there are certain situations where it is a taboo for women to be funny, and I think definitely in business that still occurs.
But hopefully things are changing.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping. What I'd like to do with this talk is really just encourage women that if they are tempted to release that sense of humour, I'm going to give them a few tips and some suggestions of how they can start to dip their toes in it without, you know, really upsetting anyone.
Give us some tips now.
Well, so the thing that I like to do is, as I say, I'll focus on the problem first. And then what I'm looking to do is I'm looking to either flip it, make it a little bit different, or I'm looking to supersize it and make it extreme. So one of the recent videos that I did, I was flicking through a woman's magazine and it had all these tips for how to spice things up in the bedroom, and it just cracked me up because I think tip number one was to wrestle with your partner. Well, I've got two older brothers. I grew up watching wrestling and I just thought,
not
sexy.
No.
So what I did is I sort of flipped that around in its head, and I thought, okay, well, I'll take the theme of spicing things up, I'll apply that to writing content. So I wrote all these tips of how you could do that. But with the video, I flipped it around and I took each tip and made it as unsexy as possible. So when like with food, you're like, introduce food into the bedroom, I bring in a bowl of steaming hot porridge. Or when it says, you know, try a bit of role play, so I dress up as a tax inspector only to get infuriated that the other person has not filed their taxes on time. So that's one thing I try and do, is to try and look for the opposite or take it to the extreme. So in a video that I filmed yesterday, it's about how listing your qualifications in your content isn't enough. You've actually got to go further and persuade your customer why you can help them. So I play all the characters myself, and so I'm having this argument with me, dressed as my dad, and me, and he's cut his hand, and I'm trying to help him, and he's refusing to believe that I can help him, but I'm dressed top to toe as a surgeon. So I've
but
got,
that's not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough, and he's just saying, ring your brother, he went to the scouts, you know, he'll have some first aid knowledge. So it's little things like that. That's two ways that I try and look for funny situations, is to look for the opposite or to take it to the extreme.
So how did this invite to this conference in Texas come about?
Yeah, so South by Southwest is huge. It's a collection of conferences, film, interactive, music, and they have a comedy section as well. And this is actually going in the interactive portion, which deals with technology and new business and marketing. And you submit an idea to talk. So I submitted my idea, and this year you have to have a video. And so I just created my pilot episode and I submitted that, and then it goes up into vote. So they like to, you know, obviously please the audience, and voting counts for about a third of the marks. Then it goes to the board who make the decision, and then it goes through round after round after round, and you're constantly waiting and looking, checking your inbox. And then I found it in October that they wanted me to come over and do this talk. So I'm super excited about it.
How many people would be talking to?
Well, it's split into I think there's like 3,500 people apply and they choose 500 talks, and it's split into different rooms. I mean, I've been somewhere, they're quite intimate workshops. I think this ballroom seats about 500 people. And yeah,
quite with a daunting.
Yeah, it could be. So I'm sort of practicing.
You'll be brilliant. You'll be brilliant. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks ever so much for coming and telling us all about it. And I hope it all goes really well in Austin, Texas.
Thank you very much.
Got your cowboy hat ready?
And my boots.
Got your boots. Brilliant. You're sorted.